Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And August is National Immunization Month. And so this makes a great time to talk about this with the school year about to begin. And so to help me do that, because I know very little about it, but these two ladies know a lot more than I do. They are from the Western Upper Peninsula Health Department. Joining me this segment is Barb Oten. She's the Director of Public Health and Education. And Kathleen Mell, the Community Health Coordinator. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Glad to
be here. Thanks for having us.
Now, this is an important time of year to talk about this. Why?
With the return of school, there's several recommendations for school-age kids for immunizations. So parents will be getting a lot of information about going to their doctor to get updated for their school shots. So it kind of will give people some ideas about what to expect. And also There's been a change in the school rule about the waiver component, that in the past parents have had to go to the school for the waiver, and in January a public health law was passed that parents now will have to come to the health department for an education session. Therefore, there may be some questions about that as well.
Now, is there a particular age group that we look at when we talk about immunizations, that they get hit like right as school start or right as junior high starts?
Well, you know, immunizations start when a baby's born. That's you know, they receive their first dose of vaccine at the birth dose of hepatitis B, and then there's a primary series that goes from, it can range over two, you know, from birth all the way through 15 to 18 months, depending on if people stay on schedule. After that, you know, with people entering school, there's the there's the 4 to 6 year range, you know, the 4 year olds, the ones going to daycare and school. That's when the school rules come into play. That are, you know, the school rules are to protect public health, that come into play. So the 4 to 6 year range, the school rules also apply to anyone that's a new entry going to school. If somebody's changing schools, and the school rules apply, so there's immunization requirements that have to be met that the school is required to make sure of. They also have, and this is designed to for public health, to reduce the risk of vaccine preventable disease. So school entry, they do a seventh grade assessment, and that anyone new to the school systems. So those are the students that are that have to meet that requirement. New entries, kindergarten, the seventh grade, and then anyone new to the school themselves.
Now, you mentioned about the waiver, and we've heard a little bit about this in the news that, there's a new procedure. Let's talk about that procedure first before we get into, this is your choice at this point. If you don't want to get your immunizations, we're going to talk about that, but then talk about why you should consider it. So let's start. What's the new rule?
Yeah, what I'd like to do is address that briefly to let people know that Michigan is number 4 when it comes to having the worst the highest waiver rate. I shouldn't use worse, but the highest waiver rate in the country.
Yeah, really?
Number 4. I think Oregon and Idaho are number 1 and 2. So that's prompted Michigan to take a look at what we can do to improve our immunization rates in the state of Michigan and reduce that number, that waiver rate number. And in fact, Houghton County, out of 84 counties, is number 83 when it comes to having the highest waiver rate in the state. Oddly enough, not oddly, but Ontonagon is number 1. It's a small county, but we have the lowest waiver rate. So we have both one of the highest and the lowest waiver rate for parents waiving either all immunizations or single. Some of them will pick and choose which ones they want to waive. So the state of Michigan developed a new rule and a new law requiring families to make an appointment with the health departments, their local health departments. It's the only place they can go for education, scientific-based education on immunizations, to sit down and hopefully answer some of their questions, clarify some of the issues they might have with immunizations, and give them an opportunity to immunize their child. And if they choose still not to have their children immunized, then they sign the form that we have, and it has to be signed by us and stamped by our health department, and then taken back to the school. So they can't get the waiver from the school. They have to get it from us. it's a philosophical or religious waiver that we sign off on, and they can still get medical waivers through their doctor.
And to be clear, so these are parents who, it's not that they're, you know, they're just not up to date on immunizations because they forgot. They're making a choice not to have it done.
That's correct.
Okay. Any benefit to that? Is there
To the education?
Well, is there a health benefit or health risk by getting immunized?
Well, there isn't. No, immunizations are designed. It's one of the greatest public health advances ever. So immunizations have a very important purpose, and if you look over the timeline, it's incredible what we've seen and what we've accomplished. I think some of the challenges are with immunizations, and I want to make it clear that with some, there are certain contraindications for medications, for immunizations. Whenever people come in, you have to look at what their health status is, and then you make decisions based on that, whether or not immunizations is that you can go ahead and immunize. So there's a very specific procedure for assessing someone whether or not there is a problem, whether they can get immunized or not. So I hope that explains it to you that, you know, we anyone that comes in, we do an assessment, and anyone that does immunization should do that to find out whether or not there's a reason we couldn't give an immunization. Mm-hmm. There's several rules that apply to how we immunize.
But to a normal healthy person, the immunization shots are not dangerous to your health in any way.
They're safe.
There's some
occasional
side
effects.
And you realize why I asked you that.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah. And they're like Barb said, there are side effects. So when people come in for immunizations, you know, they're safe, but there are, you know, when we give the immunization, sometimes you could have a sore arm. You could get a fever. So that is explained. One of the things when people come in for immunization is there's something called the vaccine information sheet. Anyone that gives immunizations needs to give that to a person. It's basically their opportunity for informed consent. That person who's going to be getting that immunization can review that material. It talks about who should get it and who shouldn't. Okay. It also talks about side effects, what to expect. And whenever I give shots, I always tell, you know, you might have a sore arm. You need to anticipate that. If you have this, you need to do this, this, and this to deal with it. For other people, if they think they're having serious problems, please call us and let us know, because the government does have something in place. If there is a problem with the vaccine, they have a program in place to deal with that. So there's many safety measures involved with vaccines, and they're probably the most, of all the medicines, they are held to the highest standard and the longest safety trials.
Is there any danger to the rest of the public, say the rest of the kids at school, if you have a certain number of children who are not immunized?
Absolutely.
If they've been immunized.
I mean, that's the whole idea behind immunization, is that the more people that are immunized, the more the community is protected, whether it's the school community or the community in general. So, you know, a couple of caveats. One, a lot of the immunizations aren't 100%. They don't provide 100% coverage, but they provide a great deal of coverage, a high percentage. And then there are those people who can't get vaccines. So the more people that are vaccinated, those people who can't receive vaccines are protected. So
it's the concept of herd immunity.
Right.
So you're having a protective, you're protecting through other people. An example for, like you said, like Barb was talking about, for instance, and pertussis is whooping cough. People talk about that quite a bit, and it's a very challenging disease. It's been around a long time. It's challenging for two reasons: is that the disease itself, people get it, and they get a short-term immunity, and then it wanes. The vaccine, it has kind of the same properties, so it's kind of a, we're coming together. Several expert groups are coming together to try to manage both these challenges. So, yeah, when people choose not to immunize and they don't get the vaccine, there's more people there with that waning immunity. So it becomes a public health challenge. What's frightening about pertussis and why we're so intent on this is that you can't fully immunize an infant. We've had infant deaths in the last, 5 years, some in Michigan that have died from pertussis, and it is heartbreaking, because really, with proper immunization, that can be avoided. That vulnerable infant was exposed to pertussis. that we couldn't vaccinate. You can't, the first pertussis, they're not fully vaccinated against pertussis. They don't get their full series until at least 6 months, and then they get a booster at 12 months. So they're so vulnerable during that period of time. So the public health goal and challenge is, like we said, we're trying to do a community-wide effort. We try to immunize the population and do our best to improve the vaccine, but we have two challenges, the waning immunity of the disease and then that vulnerable population. So there's a series of things that come together for public health to try to protect those. We try to protect the vulnerable ones, the ones who can't be immunized.
You know, we live, you know, in a day and age where things like polio and other, diseases that were rampant at one time, where you had to live in fear of it happening, are virtually wiped out in most cases. And I think we forget about that. You know, we become pretty comfortable with, you know, my children, we're all immunized, and most of the people that I know, that never even was a question. So talk about just the success that, you know, this doing this has had, and just, you know, historically wiping out some of the diseases that used to be pretty commonplace. So you mentioned pertussis is now...
I mean, at one point in time, pertussis was eradicated, you know, but because of waning immunity and people not immunizing, the same with measles, and I think a lot of international travel has a lot to do with that, too. So smallpox, big success of wiping out worldwide. Polio has been eradicated in this country. Measles and pertussis had at one time, but we're seeing some of that reemerge because of the higher rates of people choosing not to be immunized. And it is an issue. I think people, you know, part of the argument is, we don't see those diseases anymore, but we don't see them because we've immunized big populations against those diseases. And I date myself when I say, you know, I do remember growing up in a time where we lived in fear of polio and standing in line and getting the sugar cube oral polio vaccine. And, you know, there was a huge outbreak in Michigan in the 1940s. Actually, the UP was a historical site for a polio outbreak. So a lot of people who were left with the paralysis and some of the, you know, effects of polio, you know, are probably starting to not be here anymore. And younger doctors and healthcare providers have never seen these diseases. So...
For the parents that have children that are entering school, you know, or changing school, and they need to get the immunization shots, let's do a little bit of education with them. Say that they don't know what to do. They hear this. Oh, how do I make sure my child is up to date?
Well, first of all, this is happening at their provider office. Wherever they seek medical care, the providers are educating them about what immunizations are necessary. Something that sometimes confuses people is that there's the school rules that are very specific to certain vaccines that they've decided for public health. There's the school rules, but there's also the recommended vaccines. And sometimes when people come in, they just say, I just want the school vaccines, but they don't realize that there's other vaccines that are recommended by the the American Academy of Pediatrics. They don't always fully understand the two differences. I just want the school vaccines. So that you're telling me you want to leave your children vulnerable to these other things. So trying to understand that the school rules apply to the public health law to protect schools and to reduce the risk of communicable disease. So for instance, a kindergartner, when they come in, when we look at their record, or someone going to daycare, they're required to have a certain amount of certain vaccines so that we know that they have enough of an immune status that we're protecting the public. So for someone going to kindergarten, we want them to have, you know, the four doses of DTaP, even though we recommend they're supposed to have a total of five. They need to have a certain amount of polio. They need to have two doses of the MMR, two doses of the chickenpox vaccine. So there's, you know, the school rules are a little bit different than the fully recommended rules. So parents, hopefully, if they're trying to understand what's going on, is that they would be talking to their medical providers. Also, they can certainly call the health department, and we will help them too. One thing I want to talk about Michigan that is a beautiful thing, because I was a public health nurse in Idaho. We have an immunization registry, which is beautiful. I mean, all this is on a computer system, so a person that can walk in and can say, I don't know about my vaccines. If they had vaccines in Michigan, we can look them up on this system, and we know what they've had. And that is a phenomenal thing, because you can have an idea of what they've had, so you're not going to over vaccinate them. You have a good sense of what's going on. So the MICR system, it's called MICR, it's the Michigan Care Improvement Registry, and it covers, we're working very hard. They started with the 0 to 18, and now it's encompassing all adults as well. So it's a great gift for Michigan. So parents can call their provider and they can ask about this immunization record. If they don't have the paper one anymore, they can call their provider and they can get it, or they can call the health department and we'll be more than happy to give that to them and also explain it to them. Tell them this is what's recommended. We can kind of sort out this is what the school is going to need from you, but this is what's fully recommended. Right, for instance, I'm going to speak to the flu because flu season is coming, and there's just lots of information about flu. And the general guideline: everyone should get a flu shot. Everyone, and we have so many pieces. I'm healthy. I don't need it. Really, I tell my story. I had the flu when I was 28 and young and healthy. I was a nurse, and I didn't get down to my flu clinic in time. I had to go home to my mother's house to be taken care of. I was that sick. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I get the flu shot every year, and guess what? My children got the flu shot before it was a recommendation because I didn't want them to get it. I want people to realize it's a form of insurance, and it's not required to get into school, but when you look statistically where flu, when you look at schools closing, schools having problems, we watch the trend, a flu shot is very important. It is insurance. It's an insurance. There's many different ways that you can get the flu shot. It's based on your medical condition, but it's something to think about. So that's an example of school flu shots are not required for school, but they are recommended for that age group. Very important for all age groups. I 6 months up till no matter what, and they have all. So that's an example of a little bit difference there. But to get back to your question there, call your provider or call the health department. And they can help you understand what your child's immunization status is.
Talking right now with Barb Oten, Director of Public Health and Education of the Western Upper Peninsula Health Department. Also Kathleen Mell, who you just heard from. She's the Community Health Coordinator. If you have any questions about immunizations, these are the ladies to talk to. If you're looking to get the waiver, you will have to take those extra steps. Real quick, Barb, as we close now, can you, again, just so those people who... they're going to either want to know more or, and it'll be up to them to choose at that point.
Right. They'll need to call the health department, their local branch office in our five counties, make an appointment with a nurse. And it's informative. It's not a scary thing. We don't want to make it a scary thing. It needs to be comfortable, and we're there to answer questions. And that's really it. So
thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.